Early on in Christianity, we know that there was a belief about Jesus Christ that he will appear at the end of the age, in the end of the time, in the role of a judge. That's his role. And you're going to see today how many scriptures talk about that. This is part and probably the most vital and long-held belief that Christians have had. And that is that there will be a day, okay? There will be a day when indeed the judgment of the world, you know, by the Creator God, the Almighty God, will set the world right from all of its wrongs once and for all. Now, some people don't like the word judgment. I understand. It sounds like, oh, you're going to judge us. You're going to do this. And they don't understand the judgment. And some people even go further than that. We ought to let everybody just do what they want and everything. You know, don't stop people from helping themselves. They're poor or they're this or they're that. And no. They say, we shouldn't judge people. You've heard that phrase. You know, don't judge me. Don't judge me. And one of the phrases of one of the Golden Girls played by Beatrice Arthur is, who do you to judge me? You know, well, God is going to be the judge. But it's all through the Bible and very much in the Psalms that God's judgment is coming and that it actually will cause people to shout for joy. And in poetic language, the trees and, you know, the rivers will clap their hands and the trees will sing and so on. Now, that's all poetic language. But what it's showing is that God's judgment, when he comes to set things right, is a joyous good news. Okay? Let me give you a couple examples. Here's Psalm 95. This is 96. I'm going to read from Psalm 96, verses 10 through 12. Say among the nations, the YHWH, the ever-living God, the Lord, it's translated L-O-R-D in capital letters, the YHWH reigns. Indeed, the world is firmly established. The world, our societies, we don't have unstable society. It will not be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. You know how many judges can be paid off? I had a friend that knew about a crime. Well, he committed a crime. He committed it. But he had enough money to pay a lawyer who knew how to pay off a judge. Pay off this one, pay off that one. And he got out. Even though he had had many counts against him, which would have taken felony counts, he got out. He got off scot-free. Why? Because there's cheating, there's lying, there's prejudice, there's this. He will judge the people with equity. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all of it contains, roaring, you know, happy. Let the field exult and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy. Now, he's saying even the creation will be happy. Here's Psalm 96, verses 12 and 13. Let the field exult and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy. Before the eternal, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness. You can't bribe God. You're not going to get a good deal if you give God a big gift. No. God is going to judge it righteously, and the peoples he's going to do in his faithfulness. God is faithful. Psalm 97, these are these enthronement psalms. Psalm 97, the heavens declare his righteousness, and all his peoples have seen his glory, okay? Let all those be ashamed who serve graven images, who boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all you gods. Zion heard this and was glad, and the daughters of Judah have rejoiced because of your judgments. I mean, if you are a good person and a committed Christian and a committed servant of God, what would you do when you see evils and all that around us, suppression of good people, prejudice, and so on? What would you do if you say God is coming, he's going to set it right? And then verse 9 of Psalm 97, for you are the eternal, the most high over the earth. You are exalted above all the gods. Psalm 98, verses 7 through 9. Let the sea roar and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. You can see it's poetic language. You see, the rivers don't really clap their hands. You can't take this literally. The rivers don't really clap hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. In other words, let all creation be glad because God's coming to set things right. And I want to tell you something. We have devastated creation. We really have. We don't care. There's a lot of things that we could have done to save our world and not pollute it, but we went ahead. Money's number one, right? Before the eternal, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples, again, here's that phrase, with equity. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or you're poor. The rich man doesn't get a bad deal and the poor man get a good deal. It doesn't mean that the rich man gets a good deal and the poor man gets a bad deal. No, with equity, it's righteousness. It's whether you're right. So in a world of injustice, violence, crimes, oppression, arrogance, racism, ageism, sexism, and every other kind of ism, and all the forms of wrong and wrong judgments, here comes this idea that one day the wicked will be put in their place and they will get what they deserve, and the good people, the righteous people, will be recompensed, okay, with righteousness. The weak of the world, the widows, the orphans, the people that were helpless will get fairness and justice. That it alone has to be very good news to the vast majority of people on earth. The Old Testament then shows a hope for the Almighty God who created heaven and earth to bring justice to the world and set the world right and put everything in the right place as the righteous God wants it to be. The most notable passage about this in the Old Testament is the book of Daniel. And it's chapter 7 of the book of Daniel. Let me go there and read it to you. Chapter 7 of the book of Daniel, and I'll start with verse 2 of the chapter. Okay. Daniel said, I was looking in my vision in the night. So the night vision. And behold, I'm reading from the New American Standard Version, if it differs from your translation. I was looking in my vision by night, and behold, four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. So here's the churning. And four great beasts. You can call them beasts. You can call them monsters. You can call them scary things, whatever. They're coming out. Coming from the sea, they differed from one another. Here's what Daniel's seeing. The first was like a lion. It had wings of an eagle. I kept looking until its wings were plucked, and it was lifted up from the ground and made to stand up on two feet like a man. A human mind was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second one, resembling a bear, and it was raised up on one side, and three ribs were in its mouth between its teeth. And thus they said to it, arise, devour much meat, eat, do things to people. After this, I kept looking, and behold, another one, like a leopard, which had in its had on its back four wings of a bird, and the beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. I mean, this is scary. These are scary looking beasts, ugly, you know, I mean, very fierce. After that, I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrifying. I mean, scary and extremely strong, and it had large iron teeth. It devoured and crushed and trampled down the remainder with its feet, and it was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. So here's what Daniel sees. See these beasts. These probably, we know now that they resemble Gentile world governments and evils. While I was contemplating the horns, behold, another horn, a little horn, came up among them, and three of the first horns were pulled out by the roots before it. And behold, this horn possessed eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth uttering great boasts, like a blasphemous boast. I'm so great. I'm better than everything, you know. Then verse 9, I kept looking. Now he's seeing all this. He sees the beasts coming up one after another and after another and replacing, I guess, one another. I kept looking until thrones were set up. And the Ancient of Days took his seat. Thrones. See, all these kingdoms have thrones. They have kings. They have powers. They have these princes and everything. But here came this throne, the Ancient of Days, set up. His vesture was like white snow. This is what he appeared like. And the hair of his head, like pure wool white, you know, pure, you know, cut short, I guess. His throne was ablaze with flames. Its wheels were burning, like burning fire, his throne. If it traveled, they have wheels like burning fire. A river of fire was flowing and coming out from before him, and thousands upon thousands were attending him, and myriads upon myriads, or tens of thousands were standing before him. The court sat, and the books were opened. So now here's like a big courtroom in heaven. And here's God, the Ancient of Days, ready to hold court. Then I kept looking because of the sound of the boastful words which the horn was speaking. I kept looking until the beast was slain, and its body was destroyed and given to the burning fire. As for the rest of the beasts, their dominion was taken away. They have no more power. But an extension of life was granted to them for an appointed period of time. In other words, God has already judged the world. He's already judged these kingdoms, but he's going to let them stay in this world and for a period of time. So he says, I keep looking. Okay, that's what I saw in heaven. I saw their judgment. Who was the judgment? The Ancient of Days, the Almighty Creator God. I kept looking. This is verse 13 now, Daniel 7, verse 13. I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven. Now, this is all in poetic language, poetic Hebrew or poetic Aramaic. It starts in verse 9 and goes through 10. Verses 11 and 12 are not poetic. They are specifically stated. Verse 13 starts Hebrew poetry again. I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a son of man was coming. Here are the clouds he sees, and this one like a son of man, like looked like a human form. And he came up to the Ancient of Days. He's coming through the clouds, okay? He's with the clouds of heaven. He comes to the Ancient of Days, sitting on the Ancient of Days, sitting on this throne. Fire we see on the throne. It's ablaze, and the wheels of the throne ablaze, and all this things that he's be. So think about it. How would you like to come up there? Before the Ancient of Days, with the myriads and myriads and tens of thousands of the angels serving him, okay, in his court. And he comes up to the Ancient of Days, okay, and was presented before him. Somebody's presenting the Son of Man. And to him, the Son of Man, was given dominion. So now he's going to execute this judgment and everything, but this Son of Man has dominion. Even though these other beasts are allowed to continue, they've been, you know, their powers were taken, but they're allowed to continue. And to him was given dominion, glory. He gets glory, and he gets a kingdom that all the peoples, nations, and people of every language might serve him. That Son of Man is coming. He gets all this, and he gets all this to, and that they might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which will not pass away. You notice the Hebrew poetry? It's an everlasting dominion. Okay. Hebrew poetry states something. It doesn't rhyme. It states something, then it states the same thing again in another verse. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which will not pass away. Well, if it's everlasting, we know it's not going to pass away, but you say it in there. That's the part of the Hebrew poetry. And his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. So here he is, the Son of Man, coming in the clouds of heaven. He is going to have a kingdom, and the kingdom has been given to him, the powers, and he is inviting all peoples of all nations of every type under his dominion. So the Son of Man is given dominion over all the nations, just like Adam, when you see Adam in the book of Genesis, was given dominion over all the creatures of creation. The Son of Man comes, and all these beasts, you see these beasts coming out of the... He has power over them, just like Adam had power over the beasts of the field, on everything. So now we see it. This statement ties into Isaiah. So we take a look at Isaiah, because the ultimate is a new heavens, a new earth, because God is going to have dominion, putting everything right. Here we are in Isaiah chapter 11, I'm beginning in verse 1. Then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Eternal, the Ever-Living, the YHWH, will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, and the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear, the reverence, the fear of the Eternal. He will delight in the fear of the Eternal, and he will not judge by what his eyes see. You know how many people judge by the outward appearance? They judge you. Outward appearance. Nor will he make decisions by what his ears hear. Do you know how many people, if you tell them something, they believe it? How many people have They've had their relationships destroyed. They've had people turn against them. Gossip says, well, yeah, guess what he did? Guess what she did? Guess who he is? Guess what they think? Oh, yes, he's this way. She's this way. And they've had people being turned against them. One of the most egregious evil things that I have experienced in my counseling practice, in my psychology practice, is this. Husband and wife are starting to, you know, their marriage is now starting to get bad. And now they're fighting for the children. And men tend to do this more, although I've seen women do it. Take their kids, go to their kids and start condemning, turning the kids against their spouse. I think there is nothing lower, more, I guess there's stuff more evil, but I don't think there's anything lower in the world of marriage and divorce than trying to turn these children against their spouse. And I've seen it happen, and people are already having it happen. I've had clients where the husbands went against their wives and told the kids, oh, your mother's this way. She's no good. And turned them against. And what do the kids do? They're totally subject to what they hear. He will not make decisions by what his ears hear. How many people have gotten fired from their job, gotten called in, got maybe even arrested or something by somebody just talking? And I'll often say that policemen don't necessarily do a good job in investigating. Now, the prosecutor is supposed to, but, you know, prosecutors now want a bunch of, marks, you know, marks on their record that they've put people away. They didn't investigate very far. They don't care about that. But Jesus, the one coming, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord, he will delight in the fear of the eternal. He will not judge by what his eyes see. He will not make decisions by what his ears hear. He investigates. I often tell my friends and my clients, I will never believe anything bad about you until I come to see you. You know, I will not hear. I've had a person one time, they came to see me and said, I want to tell you something about so-and-so, but you have to promise you will never say anything about it. Or I want to tell you what so-and-so said about you, but you have to promise you will never go back to them. And I said, don't tell me. Do not tell me what they said about me. Because I don't want to, because I don't want to be prejudiced against them and not investigate whether they said it or not, or whether they said it the way you're saying it and the way you mean it. So you can't say it that way. You have to investigate. So here's righteous judgment, totally. But with righteousness he will judge. This is now Isaiah 11 and verse 4. With righteousness he will judge the poor and decide with fairness for the afflicted of the earth. Fairness for them, but not prejudice for them. Maybe they're doing wrong. They don't get a break just because they're afflicted. They don't get a break just because you're poor. You have to be right. Doesn't matter whether you're poor, rich, whatever color you are, what sex you are, what age you are. Doesn't matter. It matters whether you're right, whether you're true, whether you're righteous, whether you're doing the right thing, whether you're lawful. But with righteousness, he will judge the poor, decide with fairness the afflicted of the earth, and he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, because these beasts are still around. And with the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. And righteousness will be the belt about his loins, and faithfulness the belt around his waist. And the wolf will dwell with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the young and the fatling together, and the little boy will lead them. And the cow and the bear will graze, and the young will lie down together, and the The lion will eat straw like the ox. This is like the new heaven and the new earth. And the nursing child will play at the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child will put his hand on the viper's den. They will not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the eternal, as waters cover the sea. Right now, I have to tell you, the earth is not full of the knowledge of the eternal. There are people that think they know what the Bible says. They don't know. There are people, and you're going to get an email, hopefully, from me, not very long, because I'm offering you a letter that just went out. How do you read the Bible? How do you understand the Bible? A lot of people don't even know that the Bible is a translation. That what we read in English is not the original, it's a translation. And I don't know if you speak two languages and somebody talks to you, sometimes it's difficult to figure out the word you're going to say from here to there. Let alone how you're going to make, in the Greek, there were no commas. There was no punctuation a lot. In the Hebrew, there were no. And we're trying to get some sense. Maybe you don't know it all. A lot of people don't know that certain words meant something different from the English word. So they will not hurt, because the knowledge of the eternal will be there as the waters cover the sea. Then in that day, the nations will resort to the root of Jesse. To the root of Jesse. Resort. The root springs up. There's something coming from Jesse, that root, and we know who it is. It's the one who became the Lord and the Yahshua or Jesus, or whatever you want to call him, Jesus, in different languages. They call him different things, who will stand as a signal for the peoples. His resting place will be glorious. Then it will happen on that day that the Lord will again recover the second time with his hand the remnant of his people who will come from Assyria and Egypt, Pathos, Cush, Elam, Shinar, Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. And they will be judged properly in a kingdom where the world will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord, of the YHWH. Now you have also, look at this one, the Psalm talking about the nations. Listen, Psalm 2. This is in Psalm 2. It's again mostly poetic language. Why are the nations in an uproar? And the peoples devising a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand. Oh, they don't like this, right? The kings of the earth are going to take their stand, and the rulers take counsel together. Listen to this absolute ridiculous situation that they're doing. The kings of the earth, the rulers of the earth, they're taking counsel. Let's decide. We got the Council of Churches. We got the Council of the Nations. We got the League of Nations. We got the United Nations. We got all these things. We're going to take counsel. Who are they taking counsel against? Against the Eternal. And against his anointed, his Messiah, saying, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. They are not going to start ruling over us. We're not having it. Good luck. if that's your position, good luck. You're taking a stand against the Almighty God, who has all the power, who created everything, and you're going to take a stand against them. That just really makes sense, right? Yes. He who sits in the heavens laughs. Yeah, that's all I want to do. I want to laugh here. This is funny. You're going to take a stand against one who has all power? The Lord scoffs at them. The Adonai scoffs. The Eternal. He who sits in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. This is now verse 5 in Psalm 2. Then he will speak to them in his anger and terrify them in his fury, saying, but as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. I will surely tell of the decree of the Eternal. He said to me, and this is what we're quoted, and it's quoted in the news, that you are my son. Who is he appointing to judge? Today I have begotten you. This is the Psalm 2, verses 1 through 7. It's a messianic psalm. So you see the Messiah, the Christ. Messiah is the Hebrew word. Christos is a Greek word. They both mean someone who's anointed, someone who's enthroned, a king. When you're anointed as king. And they bring the whole world, this Messiah is going to bring the whole world back to a state of justice. The whole world, not just the United States, not just Israel, not just Egypt, not the whole world. And you see here in Acts chapter 17, verses 30 and 31. Therefore, now this is, these are the apostles. Now the apostles are just preaching. Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance. Now, Paul, Peter, James, all the early apostles recognize that there were times when people were ignorant. They didn't have someone preach to them. And there are a lot of people now still very in ignorance because they don't have anybody preach to them. Having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent. In other words, change your mind. You need to change your mind about things, about you, about life, about God, about your sins, about the way you look at things, about God's law, about everything. You need to change your mind because, verse 31, Acts 17. I won't take the whole time. You could read before and after these verses. Because he, God, has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. We just read that in Psalms. We just read that in the book of Isaiah, chapter 11. He fixes a day that he will judge the world in righteousness. Listen. Rest of it, verse 31, Acts 17, through a man whom he has appointed. That's what Daniel 7 said, the Son of Man coming to the, and that Son of Man is given a dominion, he's given a kingdom. Through a man he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men. Now, what's the proof that he's going to give him this appointed? Having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. He's the high priest as well. You know, he's a priest as well. Why? He is a high priest because he has the endurance of an endless life. Priests, kings, rulers, magistrates, governors, mayors, presidents, you know, what dictators, whatever you call it, the person in charge, whatever, whoever it is, they come and they go. You might have a righteous one for a while, and they leave. This man has the power of an eternal life because he's been raised from the dead. Now you see in Acts chapter 10, in verses 40 through 43, God raised him on the third day and granted that he became visible. Now, they weren't saying he was raised and nobody ever saw him. They're saying he became visible. And to the apostle Paul, Paul said he appeared to me. He appeared to all the apostles, the 12. And then he appeared, one time they appeared to 500 people at one time. Now, we don't have the names and the addresses of all those 500 people. We can go investigate. No, but Paul, and I like the apostle Paul, I think he's not talking, you know, gibberish. He's not talking stupidity. He's not talking some deceptive. He's saying, I saw him. The 12 saw him, and then he was one time seen by 500 people of once, and most of them are still alive. So he must have known a lot of these people. That's how Christianity started. That's how it started. We have this judge that God raised him the third day, and when he became visible, but not to all the people. Verse 41, this is Acts 10, verse 41. Not to all the people. He didn't go to every Jew in Israel there and all the people around. But to witnesses who were chosen beforehand by God. That is, and now they're saying, here the apostle, to us who ate and drank with him, even after he arose from the dead. Now, if you sat down and had a dinner with Jesus after his resurrection, you think people could tell you that he wasn't resurrected? You think that somebody was saying, I don't want you saying this. This is not true, and you know it's not true, and if you keep saying it, we're going to beat you up. We're going to convict you. We're going to hang you. We're going to stone you. And you would say, well, I ate there. I saw him. I talked to him. I ate with him. Okay. And then not only me, but some of my friends. You think you'd be talked out of it? Having furnished proof, okay? And he ate with us. And after he arose from the dead. And he ordered us. Now you got, not only did we eat with him, he ordered us to preach to the people, to all the people in that community in Israel at that time. And solemnly to testify that this is the one who has been appointed by God, that Son of Man. Remember when Jesus called himself the Son of Man? The Son of Man will sit on his throne. The Son of Man, okay? This is the one appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. Judge over the entire world. Isaiah talks about judge. He will judge the world with righteousness, all the peoples with equity. Of him, verse 43, Acts 10, of him all the prophets bear witness that through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. All the prophets talked about this. He's talked about in the section of the Old Testament called the prophets section, the prophets. Yes, here he is. Now, in the book of Romans, the apostle Paul is talking. Again, here he's going on, and he says in Romans chapter 2, beginning in verse 15, in that they show the work of the law written in their hearts. I mean, before that, he's talking about Gentiles. Gentiles who don't have the law. They didn't have the declared writings of the law, but they do in their heart. They do by nature. They're just in their kind. They're helpful. They're merciful. They know that, you know, you're not supposed to steal. You're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to molest your daughter. You're not supposed to do evil things like this. You're not supposed to put your daughter out for prostitution. You're not supposed to do those things. There are Gentiles who don't do that. They live basic thing on their nature. They do it. He says, in that they show the work of the law written in their hearts. They don't have the law, but they do by nature the things in the law because it's written here in their hearts. Their conscience bearing witness. And their thoughts alternately accusing or else defending them. Listen, verse 16. On the day their conscience won't accuse them or their conscience will defend them. On the day, what day? When according to my gospel, Paul says, God will judge the secrets of men. You think you have a secret? The secrets of men through Christ, the Messiah, Jesus, the Messiah, the anointed king, the anointed Jesus, who will be king. He has a dominion. He has a kingdom, right? Now, I preach justification. I've told you about justification through faith. And it's a wonderful thing that God will make you righteous. God will attribute righteousness, just like in, we read this several times, Genesis 15, verse 6, and Abraham believed God and it was counted as righteousness. Okay, it's counted. But please don't confuse that doctrine with the idea that you can do just whatever you want because that you think God doesn't care about your behavior because after all, God has said you're righteous. No, you will be judged by your acts, by your deeds. And there will come a time when, according to my gospel, Paul says, God will judge the secrets of men through Messiah Jesus. Jesus is coming as judge. I clap my hands. The rivers really won't clap their hands, but it's a nice poem. But it's beautiful because it means the whole earth will be happy when Jesus Christ comes to judge the earth. We'll talk about this in part 2 next week. Join me in prayer as we conclude today's service. Heavenly Father, as we approach your wonderful throne, and before the great King, the Son of Man, the one who came to you as the Ancient of Days, that you've given a kingdom, you've given him a dominion, and he has shared that kingdom. We have a good news that your kingdom will come, set things right, and it will be through Jesus Christ our Lord, and that every person should come to him because he is the King. He is the Master. He is our Lord. We thank you, Father, for so many wonderful things. We thank you every day for the breath of life, for the food we eat, for the joy we have. And we ask, Father, for those whose joy has diminished because of pain and suffering, that you will just reach down your hand and mercifully help them, strengthen them, help them find solutions, open up windows, open up doors for them in their lives of things that can be done or things that you want them to know, and at least help them and comfort them in their strength and comfort them in their bravery as they face trials and problems and difficulties in their bodies and their minds and other areas where they're needing your help. We give you thanks now for everything, Father. We praise you, glorify your name, and we welcome you and we welcome your Son in our lives as judge. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.